You are listening to Super Yacht Radio.
Welcome to Super Yacht Radio. And our New Year special is celebrating some of the leaders in our industry. I have the pleasure of being joined today by Captain Paul Clark, who has been captain of Motor Yacht Loon and was awarded the Humanitarian Award at the A-Crew Awards last year. I have to say, was one of the bright sparks of catching up with you during lockdown. Paul, lovely to have you here again.
Hey, good morning. Great to be here. Thank you very much.
So, Paul, you guys are no stranger to winning the Crew Awards. I believe you have already been Crew Award winners, you and your team.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. We won the Charter Yacht of the Year Award last year in 2019, and just love the whole concept that A-Crew has come up with an award, an independent award system outside of the management companies that are, you know, voted by your peers. And it's such a great system that, you know, we hope to continue this role on for numbers of years, and can't recommend it enough for crew that want to get involved in the A-Crew award system.
So before we kind of get into the award itself and you know, why you were nominated for that, and you know, my chats beforehand have been with individuals. In some ways, you know, Paul Clark is not just you, but, and I know this well from catching you up in lockdown, you were very much part of your team. You know, it was you and the whole crew that worked very much as a team together. For those that haven't been following you or don't know you, I think one of the interesting stories behind the crew on Motor Yacht Loon has also been kind of building up. I mean, you could have kind of got in there for a social media influencer, because you very much have built up this super yacht from being, you know, a still the same super yacht, but have built it up on Instagram to be very, very recognizable. And in many ways then have, with your later work, were a bigger influence. Can you kind of step us through from when you first got on to the yacht of kind of working with your team and how you built all that up?
Yeah, sure. So exactly. It is a total team effort. And it's, you know, every person on board is involved in, you know, building the social media up. As you said, we have sort of become a little bit of an influencer with close to 60,000 followers on Instagram now, and then Facebook, YouTube as well. But we're not, we don't look at ourselves like influencers. We really just, you know, decided that social media was a way to help Motor Yacht Loon stand out from all the other yachts in our category. So, you know, it's not about the crew, it's not about the people, it's about the experiences that we have on board is what we try to post. And I guess from the very beginning, when the owner bought Motor Yacht Loon and I came on board her, you know, we wanted to really show what the vessel can do and its capabilities. I think the days of super yachting being super secretive and no photos of the interior, and you know, I've worked on those coming up through the ranks, and I think those days are kind of gone. I mean, we're not highlighting people that are on board. You know, there's never any clients in any of the photos unless they are, you know, they specifically say that we can. But you know, it's just another advertising platform. It's the same as having a website. It's the same as having, you know, a charter video. And we do generate a lot of business through our social media platforms. And you know, lots of boats you know, following in our wake and doing similar, you know, marketing campaigns. And I think it's working, and it's good for the whole industry to really just get out there and show how cool these boats can be.
I think that's the interesting thing. If you look even back about 3 or 4 years, there weren't very many super yachts on social media as an enterprise in itself. So you were very much kind of coming in and building up at a time when it, in some ways, that kind of side of things of the industry was in its infancy. But, you know, it also strikes me that you also had to coordinate quite a bit, because having very cool Instagram posts actually can take quite a bit of work. And you do need kind of people that are talented between the filming, between understanding social media, between getting everything kind of right. And then I'm sure there were a couple that surprised you along the way of that just kind of took off and you weren't expecting them to.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I pretty much have a doctorate in Instagram algorithms now. It's and from the, you know, from 3 years ago when we first started this, I wouldn't have been able to tell you the first thing. I mean, I have my own personal Instagram page, which maybe gets one post a year and not really much. So trying to turn it into a marketing campaign for Modi.Loon definitely was a lot of trial and error and just a lot of YouTube videos and lots of Google searches, you know, time of days to post, you know, what kind of videos, understanding the music, which is such a big part of videos on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube, that if it's copyright infringed, you know, you lose your lose the rights to the video. There's so much that goes into it, and it is actually quite a big job. Even though we're really only posting once a day, we try to post every single day around about 10:30 to 11 a.m. US East Coast time, because that's our target market. But I mean, it's, you know, it's a couple of hours every day, and then making sure that people aren't ripping off your content, and then just answering. We get, you know, 10, 20 emails a day from people saying, how much is your charter yacht? Can we rent a room? And then, you know, going through and replying and saying, I'm sorry, it's a super yacht. It's, you know, $200,000 a week and all that, which often, you know, you don't hear back from those people. But out of every, yeah,
that
exactly.
Much.
And, but, you know, we get, you know, out of probably 50 or so emails, we normally get one that sticks. So, and that's really cool. And we've met a lot of great people and a lot of great clients that otherwise probably wouldn't have ever chartered a super yacht, or maybe not, at least with us. So, that's a really cool thing that we've found through the social media platforms.
Out of interest, I mean, as a captain, and we were chatting about this just before the show, as you said, driving the boat is actually only about 2% of what you do. You know, between all the other responsibilities and jobs as a captain, even outside of charter season, this is my curiosity, but did this become this extra, you know, very much integral part of work, but actually it was something of a monster that needed to keep on feeding? Or did you kind of have to have it organized with all your crew that, you know, there would be one person doing X bid and the other? And like, how did you take on that extra work? Because one good Instagram post a day is, you know, sizable enough on top of everything else, particularly in charter season.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely become a monster. It's, you know, and it's a lot more work than I think any of us ever intended. So, all the crew help with content. You know, like when the boys are out in the tender with guests, they're doing stories, they're doing, you know, flying the drone, trying to get cool pictures. Back on board the boat, you know, the girls are taking photos of their tablescapes, the chef's in the galley taking photos of his food. You know, it is a full team effort. And then, but Maxine, the chief stewardess, and myself on board are the ones that run the page and sort of quality control. So we take all the pictures, all the videos that come in, and then we edit and we clean up and then post ourselves. But yeah, it's been a massive undertaking. I don't know how people like Tristan Mortlock, for example, find the time to put out YouTube, you know, a couple of YouTube videos a week. I honestly, you know, hats off to him. He's definitely, you know, he's got another beast going on there. So, but it's been a wild ride and something that, you know, we hope to keep going. And, you know, it's really cool to see a bunch of other boats, you know, coming up behind us as well. I see that, you know, Ragnar, Modi.Loon Ragnar, the new expedition boat that just launched, La Dacha, they've all got very, very smart, professionally run Instagram pages as well, and are rapidly building followers.
Can I also say of a positive influence, and this will kind of bring us on to your award as well, but of positive influences, Tristan, who is also coming up this week on Super Yacht Radio, I got to catch up with him, and he was the a winner of, and again, you know, like yourselves, they could be in a couple categories, but Tristan was the winner of the mentorship this year. And I thought that was a lovely tribute because, you know, equally that you guys won the humanitarian, where, you know, where we think your strengths are actually also shows the positive influences of what you're doing can be as well, you know, of portraying the industry in a positive way and therefore being able to have more of an influence and make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tristan does such a great job. I mean, he's you're always posting, you know, a lot of informative videos to, I guess, greenies that are coming into the industry. You know, this is what your cabin looks like. You know, this is your work hours. That's a lot of really cool stuff that, you know, I think a lot of greenies coming into the industry really have no idea what the actual job entails and, you know, the hours that are required and where your living spaces are. And you're living on top of, you know, 10, 20, 30 other people. And so he does a really great job, especially in the mentor category on explaining the industry and what to expect when you're first joining. So, you know, that's really cool. Yeah, us on the other hand, we're more positioned to really, you know, show the boat to the charter guests and the experience to have on board. But yeah, it is a team effort. And I like to think, you know, and then obviously with, as you were leading into the humanitarian thing, having a wide audience of people to reach really, you know, it helps with the humanitarian and just really gets the voice out there of, you know, these boats, even though they're looked at as, oh, they're just rich people's toys, there's a lot of good that these yachts can do from all different aspects.
Well, this brings us up to you working with Yacht Aid Global, which is the reason for why you won the humanitarian award. Can you tell us a bit more about what happened? I mean, all of us remember 2 years ago, the devastation that was wrought throughout many parts of the Caribbean with the hurricane season. So had you been involved with the Yacht Aid Global before, or was this sort of in response to what was happening because you were there?
Yeah, no, I had never worked with Yacht Aid Global before this. And it was just great timing. Coincidentally, another tie to the social media side is the reason I wanted to get involved and the reason that I knew about Yacht Aid Global was back in 2015 when the hurricane hit Tahiti and Dragonfly responded. And they put out an incredible video of their relief efforts, and they won the humanitarian award 2 years ago for a hurricane disaster as well. And you know, watching them and, you know, they're out to islands giving medical aid, delivering water, rebuilding huts. And I was like, wow, that is really cool. And if there's ever an opportunity that I'm in the right place at the right time, I'll definitely be the first person in line to say we're here and we can help. Then fast forward four or five years later, and Hurricane Dorian just wreaks absolute ravage, disaster over the northern Bahamas, and we were only 150 miles to the south in Nassau. So I saw Yacht Aid Global put out a post on Instagram, and they said, hey, any boats in the area, we're looking for someone to help. And I think within 3 minutes of that post going up, I said, we're here, we're ready, let's go. And, you know, I guess from there on, it just all came together so quickly. And, you know, Mark, Zoran, Norbertres, everyone at Yacht Aid Global, it was about 2 million WhatsApp messages and phone calls back and forth in about a 24-hour period. And I mean, it just went from there. And it was such a cool experience.
And can you kind of step through of, where were you based and where did you need to go to? And then what did you find when you got there?
Yes, of course. So we were actually 3 days before the hurricane hit, we were still on charter in the southern Bahamas. And so I ended up booking it back to Atlantis Marina, which I'm sure most yachties are familiar with in the northern Bahamas, which is really one of the best hurricane holes in the area. And at that point, it did look like the hurricane was going to go, you know, slightly above us. So I got the guests off. We sat there, and then the day the hurricane hit was the day I started talking to Yacht Aid Global. And we just were just, you know, and at that point it was a category three. It really, you know, we thought we were going to go there and, you know, just help restore power and provide comfort. And about that time is when this hurricane just stopped and built to a category five incredibly quickly. And I mean, we just watched the news footage coming out and the live video streams from people when they still had power, and just seeing, you know, entire towns, villages, just be completely washed away. And at that point, I think the seriousness of what we had volunteered for and what we were going to be going into what really hit home. And at that point, it just, you know, really sank in. Started running around the marina, asking other yachts to donate anything. There were some really cool church groups in Nassau as well that, you know, and before we knew it, we had about 7 tons of supply aid on board the vessel. Coca-Cola did a great job as well at the bottling plant in Nassau by donating, you know, hundreds of cases of Dasani water and then some big 50-gallon reusable drums as well. So, and at that point, we just had to wait. I mean, this hurricane was so big, so strong, and so slow moving that we ended up having to wait another 3 days before it passed, that it was safe enough for us to make the, I think it's 82 miles of open ocean crossing to get up to the Abacos. And we left and it was still tropical storm conditions. It still had 50 to 60 knots of wind, you know, 10 to 14 foot seas. And so it was definitely a pretty hairy journey all the way up into Marsh Harbor.
Wow. It sounds it. I mean, I'm just in comparison to presumably, you know, charter time, if the weather's like that, normally you wouldn't be going out in that kind of weather.
No, exactly. You know, it was a big call to make. It was definitely probably some of the hairiest conditions we've ever put the yacht in. And plus we have a 40-foot tender behind us on tow. But I mean, the boat handled it beautifully. We got through. Obviously, it was a little bouncy. But we definitely strapped down for sea, probably more than we ever normally would. And then as we started making our way into the Abacos, so as you arrive in the Abacos, you've actually got to run. There's some islands on your left-hand side that you follow before you make the turn in through the cut. And maybe about 15, 20 miles out, we started seeing land and you could just already see the devastation. We're used to seeing, you know, all these beautiful beach villas, all these, you know, great palm trees. And it honestly looked like a nuclear explosion had gone off. You know, all the houses were missing roofs. All the palm trees looked like toothpicks. You know, they had no leaves or no heads left on them. And at that point, you know, seeing that first sighting of land and seeing that was really, oh my God, we've got to get there now and really start to help. And so it took us about another 3 hours from there. We arrived in Marsh Harbor at about 4 p.m. on the Wednesday. And straight away, we had 15 team members from GSD on board, who is another great aid organization. And they we ran them straight ashore. We sent the doctors straight to the hospital. And then we started just running around the outlying communities. And just the everyone had shell shock. I've never seen so many people that with just blank looks on their face with, I can't believe this happened. And so... you know, not to fast forward too much, but we were there for another 9 days, just doing everything we can with the GSD guys and all the other aid organizations on the ground.
Yeah. And can I also say of positive influences, you being one of the first responders and getting in there did actually have a knock-on effect of raising the profile of what was happening and what was needed as well. And a number of other super yachts came after you, if I'm right.
Yes, exactly. That's been one of our biggest focuses since Dorian, is still keeping the word out there. And, you know, we were posting little, you know, 3, 4, 5 minute videos every single day of what we were doing and where we were, and just trying to really get the word out that these super yachts, even though they are, you know, toys, but at the end of the day, they're incredible life-saving devices as well in these situations. I mean, the fact that we make, you know, thousands of liters of water an hour, we have state-of-the-art satellite communication for the aid workers on board, the fact that they had, you know, we obviously have, you know, 6 more beds for them to sleep in, but we ended up having another 20 of them camping on the carpet in air conditioning and in safety. We had the chefs just constantly just churning out food. We had a working coffee machine. We had all these things that were really able to, support the operations on the ground. The ice machines, I mean, ice in these situations is incredibly important as well. So that's such a cool thing to do.
Also, you know, the ability to get there quicker sometimes than many of the other vessels can get there. And in some cases, get to places that it's harder to reach because a super yacht is obviously going to be a bit more malleable down difficult areas than a much larger vessel has, you know, been the other big benefits of getting a super yacht fleet coming in to help.
Yeah, exactly. We were the first people on the ground there. Not long after us, the British Royal Navy showed up with their supply vessel. And then the U.S. Coast Guard was even a few days behind us. There were the helicopters from the USCG already there as we arrived. But, and then the Bohemian Defense Force was even a few more days behind us. But we were lucky with a super yacht of size that we were actually able to get across the sandbars and the banks, and we were able to tuck in nice and close to Marsh Harbor, whereas all these massive naval ships were ended up having to be 5-6 miles away in the ocean because of their draft restrictions. They couldn't get in, so we really ended up being a forward operating base for everyone. At times I was an air traffic controlman till the hospitals were calling me, and I was then relaying to the USCG helicopters or whatever that, hey, there's a elderly gentleman down at another town that's had a heart attack, or there's critically injured people over here. And so doing all that was just so incredible that, how everyone ended up working together. And it was so funny seeing, like, in this massive destruction, seeing a beautiful, pristine super yacht right in the middle of it. And that was so cool of the owner and everyone to be able to let us do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because presumably without the support of the owner of your super yacht, this wouldn't have been possible. So it does show how quick he was to respond. Because you can imagine only in comparison to, having a beautiful sports car and getting them to go near an earthquake or something, you could understand the reservations. So the fact that within a few hours, you guys were on your way, so to speak, does actually very much reflect on his support as well.
Yeah, exactly. Our owner, he's such an amazing gentleman. And I mean, he didn't even hesitate. And it actually all happened via text message. So I'd already been speaking to Yacht Aid Global, and I'd pretty much volunteered without really talking to him. And so I was like, all right, I better let the owner know. And so I sent him a relatively long text message and just said, hey, this is what's happened. This is what we're hoping to do. And straight away, he was like, go for it. He's like, do whatever's needed. He's like, obviously, he's like, crew safety is number one. But, he barely even mentioned the yacht. He was like, it's only money. Yachts can be fixed, whatever. But, he's like, get out there and do what you can. And that was such an unbelievable thing by him to be able to let us, basically give us free rein and just get out there as quickly as possible.
I met a quote today, which was, giving is not just about a donation. It's about the difference you can make. And I like the phrase, because this is exactly what this is about. I was recently part of a discussion at YRA Networking, and our topic was how to make your yacht famous. And, you know, I had been going through all the different ways that yachts can be famous. But I have to say my favorite, it wasn't actually what I ended up proposing, but my favorite was through philanthropy, because it's, you know, kind of bellying against the media perceptions of super yachts, and it's showing the difference it can make. And they have all around the world. Yacht Aid Global has managed to organize, you know, fleets of super yachts come in and help at certain times that wouldn't have been possible. And considering the volume of super yachts to vessels on the water, it's still a tiny percentage in comparison, but they really can make a big difference getting in there early and with the right supplies when needed. And well done to you guys, because I'm sure of all different experiences one has in yachting, and there are hundreds of them around the globe. But this will probably be one that stays as being one of the most memorable, I'd imagine.
Yes, definitely. I mean, Yacht Aid Global, the guys are just incredible. And now with the creation of Yacht Aid Global Fleet, you know, they've got boats that they've worked with before, and we're geared up for the 2020 hurricane season to be on standby if any of this happens again. And not just in the Bahamas, we're, you know, with the owner, and we're willing to operate in pretty much the greater Caribbean, that if a hurricane had have happened, thankfully it didn't with everything else that's happening in the world this year. Mm. But we were ready to respond at a moment's notice to anything. And I know that, you know, with the operation that they've got going over on in Fiji at the moment, that a couple of yachts jumped at the opportunity to head over to Fiji and are working hard right now as we speak over in that area, doing great work as well. So I mean, I just cannot say enough about the guys at Yacht Aid Global. They really run a really cool program, and it's so cool that someone has stepped up and organized all these super yachts to be able to just to help out. I mean, that's such an incredible thing.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, well done to all of you guys. I mean, I think that is the thing that we all love about the Crew Awards, is that nomination by your peers and that recognition. And in that recognition, you know, leading the way for others to follow and recognize the difference they can make. So congratulations to all of you.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. I was just going to say thank you so much. And of course, I mean, if anyone ever, you know, wants to find out about how they can help with Yacht Aid Global, or even just help out in their local communities, please feel free to reach out to me, Abby at A Crew, or through you, or everyone has my contact details. And please, you know, I'm more than happy to, you know, if it's just a phone call or a couple of emails or whatnot, I'm more than happy to help point in the right direction and really, you know, show, you know, if you want to get you and your crew involved, we can definitely figure out a really cool way to make that happen.
Fantastic. And before I go, because it's sort of one of the questions I've been asking everyone in this series, but if you were to share a little bit of advice to young yachting crew kind of early in their careers and working their way up, you know, somewhere in the future they'd like to be a captain, what would be your few pieces of sage advice to give them now that, you know, you've had the experience you've had?
Oh, good one. I wish you had to give me some pre-warning.
Got to be spontaneous now.
Exactly. I mean, I think for me, and I think for the way that I look at yachting is, just have a can-do attitude. Just go for it. Never pass up an opportunity. Don't get disgruntled by the hard times. I mean, you know, yachting has so many great moments, but there is also lows. You know, you're away from your family at Christmas. You're on day number 96 of charter when the boss just never will leave. You know, there's so many massive positives to our industry, and you just need to be there to be ready for them and take advantage of them when they can. You know, be that deckhand that cleans the crew mess. You know, it's not just a girl's job, it's all team. You know, really just get involved, and it's amazing how many opportunities that will open. I know Do you know Luke Hammond from Blue Ocean Yachting? He's another great guy that's, you know, like Tristan, posting really cool motivational stuff for green up and coming crew members. And I like watching a lot of his stories and just showing. And I'm like, I wish someone had held my hand and helped me sort of through the industry. This is my 21st year in yachting, and the first few years were definitely tough until I found my feet. And I mean, you just got to stick with it. And you know, as I said, yachting, I love it. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And I think, you just got to just roll with it and make the most of everything.
That's pretty good advice. Hey, life advice too, you know, in case you're not in yachting.
Very much.
But it has been synonymous with what others have said of, you know, make the most of your opportunities. Recognize that it's a great industry, but nothing is perfect. And there are highs and lows and challenges and a lot of hard work. But if it fits you, it can be incredibly rewarding and for many, a great way to see the world. Unless you're on the very few super yachts that actually really don't go very far. But yeah. Paul, lovely to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and wish you fair winds and safe travels wherever you end up going.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Now, you've been listening to Captain Paul Clark, who has been captain on Motor Yacht Loon and won the Humanitarian Award for their work in the part of the hurricane relief with Yacht Aid Global in 2018. Great to hear his story.
You are listening to Super Yacht Radio.